this message is going to be this ministry. And now you're going to find in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 to 7, we're going to read. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine up unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of the power may be of God and not of us. This to whom so many, when thinking about what they're doing in life, is many people, I say to them, are you lost? Or without direction in life, being saved yet not sure what you to do for the Lord Jesus, and you're kind of going around. Are you like a ship out at sea with no port in mind, or just not sure where to go? It's kind of like the two fellows that are in the boat, or they're on the island. He says, where do you, I don't know, it was a canoe. They're going around the island. Where do you want to go? I don't know. Where do you want to go? And they just kept going around in circles and circles and circles. Are you like that? Or is your compass out of sync and you just can't seem to get your bearings? Why do I say that? Well, the people that are going to hear this, for one reason, if the true gospel of Jesus Christ is hid from you and you are lost and you're not sure where you're going and what you're doing, you're without direction, Satan has been working overtime and keeping you in the dark and blind. Why? Well, if you read the first part of the text to which I read, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry of received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I'll get back there too. But look at verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Why is we as Christians walking in the dark? Why are we wandering around like the lost, not sure where the Lord would have us, what the Lord wants for us, what the will of God is for us? Oh my goodness. Is God such a way like that, that he just doesn't want to give you direction? That you got to guess? The devil doesn't want you to know the will of God for you and the calling of God for your life. Mm-hmm. Confused and lost is the devil's specialty, not God's. Mm-hmm. But you often wonder. And to those who often wonder, what is the call of God for me or for yourself? And what is his purpose that he proposes in you? I often wonder that when I first got saved. But if I'm still wondering 20-some years later, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, I should be knowing where I'm going and what I'm doing. My goodness sakes. I think as a young man, when you grow up and you start maturing in life, you start realizing things start sorting out. You're not sitting there, you're 45, 50 years old. I don't know what to do with myself. When I hear Christians come and tell me that, I'm looking for the will of God, and come back 5 years later, still looking for the will of God. I said, well, I don't know what kind of God you're looking for, but if he's that hard to find, well, maybe you should change gods. His will and the desire that he wants you to know and to fulfill for him, you are predestinated and called by him before the foundation of the world. There's a plan and a purpose of God for you, and you have to understand it. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read just a few verses here for you to understand and see this. Ephesians 1, look at verse 1, 3 to 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 9. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to usward in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. It's already made known. According to his good pleasure, which he hath proposed in himself, he's made it known to us. And people say, I don't know. Paul makes it clear, we are foreknown of God. And you coming to salvation is not accident, nor of your choosing. Nor are we ignorant of his will. If a person is telling me they're ignorant of his will, Satan has blinded him, and you're lost in the direction where Christ would have you to go. Get your compass back. You're going to too many self-help gurus and too many self-help books. And it's not good for you. The biggest argument I have with people, I says, you know what your problem is? I says, you don't read enough of this. I says, you read everything else. I says, this is not the mainstay of your diet. This is secondary or maybe third or fourth in your list. You probably read the newspaper more than you do your Bible. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading the newspaper, but if you're getting your information and your knowledge and all your understanding and your guidance from the newspaper, well, guess what? You're just as much as messed up as the astrologers who are giving you the horoscopes for the week. And if you're listening to them, well, then you deserve whatever you get. You shouldn't be listening to them. But this is what happens. It's not some secret God foreknew. It's not some secret God predestinated you. The mystery of his will is open to us today. It's the same time as the day of Pentecost. It's open to us. No Christian should be standing there. No pastor should be standing there. The only thing he should be saying is, I need to know from the Lord where I got it, what I'm going to be doing and where I'm going and what I'm going to be preaching. And I should be on his knees praying every day and finding out. But the people come to me, they're looking for the will of God, and then they try to tell me what his will is. Well, it's a little different. Go with me to Romans with chapter 8. I want to read a couple more verses here. Why do I say that? Well, because you're going to find out that in life, as you go forward, that you might have to work for a living. I mean, you might have to have a job. It might not be God's direct desire that you go out and preach immediately. And I mean preach full time, that you're just doing the gospel 24/7. And that's all you're doing. But you might find you might have to work for a period of time or whatever. Whatever way God leads and directs, I don't complain. But I also remember Paul was a tent maker, and at times he picked up the trade to make his way along. Okay? The fisherman. And when you have a family, you have to take care of your family. You can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ while you work for a living. You can do whatever. You can study the Word of God. There's many people, and if you go back in the history books and read some of these great men and women of God, you'll find a lot of them were not just like Luther, who was just a monk who didn't have a wife, and so all he spent all the time just studying and preparing himself for the ministry. Well, that's all well and good, but you don't have anybody. If you got a wife and you got children, then you have to take care of them. Plain and simple. Why? Because it's God puts that duty in you that they have to be taken care of. God does not neglect us or throw us off in the corner and say whatever. Romans 8, verse 28 to 31 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Do you not think God is going to reveal and tell you what he would have you to do and where he would like you to go? But mostly, what he would have you to do, his will. Maybe sometimes people get too hung up on where they're going instead of what they're supposed to be doing. It's a funny thing that every young person comes and says God's called them to the missionary field. It's amazing how many young people come and say that. If you want to be adventurous, be adventurous, but don't try and peddle that to me about Jesus Christ telling everybody going to go to the missionary field. Mm. Oh, I'm going to work with things. I'm going to be a social worker. Oh, I'm going to be a social worker. My goodness, I don't know. All social workers shouldn't be any social problems then. Mm. But if you're willing to open your heart and listen, and I mean really listen, you begin to hear and see his will for your life. There's no great secret, no great magical, mystical formula other than open heart, clean out your ears, open eyes. That's all you got to do. There you go. My goodness, I could build a whole theory on that, eh? And come up with all kinds of people, come up with all kinds of stuff. But it all comes down to it. Revelations chapter 3. Revelation 3, look at verse 20 to 22. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice. No, he said, any man. Now, I was also mentioned that, you know, God's speaking to the churches. Yes, he's speaking to the churches. Then he speaks to every individual believer. Why? Well, God has a personal relationship with you. You are his children. He doesn't speak to us in the block party and says, well, okay, now everybody tries to figure out who is he talking to. No, he's talking to you. Just so you know, it's personal. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also came and sat down with my Father in his throne. Notice he said, in his throne? Okay. But look at verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? Well, first of all, did you notice that we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus with a heavy emphasis on spiritual? Churches today are too much material. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says this, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what? It's a wonderful spiritual word, which will sustain you far more than your necessary food. The food to which you eat in this world, left to itself, will rot and breed worms. But the word of God will never do that. So there is a work that God has for his people. Being more specific, you, beloved, called of God. Because it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you turn back in there, I want to go to verse 1. And we'll start to what we need to know and see. Second Corinthians 4, look at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Who is we? Not the French. I will put it this way. Not only the French. We. There's three we's. Yes, 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 if you want to get right down to it. But what is it talking about? We have this ministry. as we have received mercy. And we what? We faint not. What is it? Well, it's what the Lord Jesus wants his people to carry on in his stead. This ministry. Ministry for only the apostles and not for us? To which world do you live in? And to which scriptures do you read? I say this for the people that hear this. Is the scriptures referring to us, the believer in Christ Jesus, or is he just referring to the elite few? Yes, we can do what the apostles did in the beginning of the church age. It's been right through church history and right from the time of Adam and Eve. It's been always God's desire for his people to walk in his mighty power and carry on in this ministry, a miracle power ministry that what? Signs and wonders that show the Most High God is in us. How do I know? It's a big ministry. And that's why we're told to faint not at the magnitude of it. He says, we faint not. Why? It's a big thing. People, a lot of people get scared. Saying, Scared me when I first got saved and I realized this is what God's calling me into. Said, oh, well, you're special. Not any more special than you sitting beside me. Not anymore special you being called a Christian. But you know what happens? We don't think like that. We don't think we can do it. But listen to this. It is a big thing. We have received mercy. We faint not. What? At what has been given to us. This is also a test of the fact when James and John wanted to be on Jesus' his side in his kingdom, even if it meant to what? Go through what Jesus went through, they wanted it. I know I did. Well, I sought far more greater riches than anything else that I could ever possibly dream of, and all the things I would have in this world, that meant a lot more to me. Am I wrong? Am I greedy? Well, I don't know. If you go after the things of God, it's funny thing is, it brings out holiness and godliness and all the other attributes of wonderful things. Matthew chapter 20. They wanted this ministry and would lay down their lives for it. Did you see what their mama saw? Because their mother ran over to Jesus and said, I want my boys both on either side of you, left and the right. Why? Sometimes mothers kind of meddle a little bit. Kind of get in their little son's face. You know, I think these boys were, they're not actually little kids. They weren't teenagers. They're grown men. They were fishermen. And here's old Mama Zebedee there coming, huh? Probably got both of them in hand. We're going to talk to Jesus and we're going now. Mama, we don't want. Don't do that to me, Mama. Mama, don't. We're growing men. Never mind. Huh? Woman wasn't silly. Was it like that? Well, no, she was Jewish. I think she's just like any other. Maybe a little bit of a meddling mom. But no, but she meant that she wanted the best for her sons. Mm-hmm. But you want to know something? They were too afraid to ask him for it, but they wanted it just as much. Because Jesus pointed his directions right to them. Look at this. Matthew 20, verse 20 to 23. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him, desiring a certain thing of him. And he said to her, what wilt thou? She said unto him, grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? And to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, we are able. And he said to them, "Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father." The day of Pentecost, James and John were there. To be baptized with the baptism that Christ was baptized with, Jesus said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." You ever notice when the Spirit of God came upon Christ, he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil? Mm. That's where that's when your temptation really starts. That's when your battles really start to begin, is when you start to walk. Are you able to go through what he went through? Mm. A lot of us fall in the wilderness. What was the reason? Well, Jesus said the works that he did, we would do also. So this ministry that Jesus had is for his people, for each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. This ministry is for every one of us. Spiritual gifts is for every one of the children of God. Mm-hmm. In other words, for you to fulfill and carry on your ministry, you have to have these things. Now some people, well, I've got all my life with the Lord and I never needed any of them. Yeah, I know you didn't. Could imagine if you would have done something with them. I think you're far more effectual with spiritual gifts than you are without. But remember what Jesus said, John 14 and verse 12. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than he shall do, because I go unto my Father." Look in there, it says, "I say unto you." The NIV Bible probably says, that's why he doesn't even have it. "Verily, verily, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall I do also." Probably what they're going to read or change. But we read it the way it's supposed to be. Why do I say that? For a simple reason. It's directed to us, the people of God. It is the will of God for us. It's his desire for us. That we faint not at what Christ has given to us, his church, his believer, to every individual. It's your inheritance. Oh, you don't want to hear that. What do you want to hear? I know which kind of will of God you want to hear. We're going to get to there pretty soon. Did Jesus want us to carry on that work? Well, I think he did, because he commissioned us to do the same work that was given to him of his Father. Look at John 5. Look at verse 36. "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness to me that the Father has sent me." If I take you back for 2 seconds, you don't have to turn in there, but I'll show you something. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God, power may be of God and not of us. We show Christ in us the hope of glory. We show what? God is with his people once again. Some have the concept that Jesus finished everything, so there's nothing left to do. He said it is finished. What he set to do, he finished it at the cross, redeeming us and bringing us together. But don't let the devil fool you. There's much work out there to do and to be done. You actually think that God would have us sitting around doing nothing? Yes, yes, yes. We're on holidays. We got to rest. Hang around like that, you're going to get arrested. So we become what? Lazy and spoiled. When I'm talking to people, the biggest battle they got is that they're lazy. They don't believe. They don't want to believe. They figure God's going to do everything. That was one thing that was peddling me when I first saved. "Oh, brother, don't worry when the Lord takes away your smoking. He says, he'll give you something better." Well, after a couple of months, I found out he wasn't taking anything I didn't want to give away. So I was standing there like a real good, smart young brother in the Lord. I was believing them. So I figured, well, when God wants to get rid of it, he'll just take it away. So I just enjoy my smoking. this is pretty good. When God comes along, he's just going to take it all away, and I don't have to do anything. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh. And I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker, only to find out it was just a thing. It was totally a lie. We get lazy and we get spoiled. We don't look to do anything with ourselves, to change anything. What does the Word of God say? But if you think like that, then you really do not know your God as He is known. The Great Commission in John, Mark chapter 16, you turn in there. He said unto them, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Oh, we're doing all that, brother. I know you are. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and you'll damned if you don't believe. Oh my goodness, you'd be damned, 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 and double damned. What is it? How many levels of hell we got going now? Four or five? So if you miss one, you're guaranteed to be in one of them. So we try to scare people right into heaven. I mean, terrify them. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Somehow, somewhere, the church has deviated from the ministry that we've been given to us of the Lord Jesus. When you sit down, you ask, they don't know. Or, has the will of the Lord changed? Has God's desires for His people different? Has His purpose changed for His people? You have to ask yourself that. Why? His will and His desire and His word are all in agreement. They all say the same thing. They are all in harmony one with the other. His purpose, His will, and His word. His word, His purpose, and His will. You may even make a little song with that, and you're just humming along. We have changed the spiritual ministry, the spiritual blessings, spiritual gifts, to that of natural ministries now. We have this ministry. The ministry to which we better be according to the Word of God, not according to the Word of man or a theology or a denomination, because then we got a problem. Because that is not the ministry. We are so concerned about feeding the poor and the homeless, we omit the spiritual need of the people. I want to go down to the jungles of Africa to preach to the poor natives down there because they just need the gospel because there's so much thing. And God has called me to go there and alleviate the sick, the poor, and the dying. Put a bandage on a leper, and guess what? You got a leper who's got a bandage on. But if I bring a leper to Christ, I just got a soul who was in hell into heaven. But we omit, especially those of the household of faith. We get so concerned, we omit the most important things. Natural gifts and natural works are promoted and encouraged amongst the churches today. What is your gift? Hospitality, one lady said to me. And she was asking me, she says, you're teaching a course? And I said, yes, I am. And she says, teaching spiritual gifts. She says, we took one at our church. She says, my gift is hospitality. I says, no, ma'am. I says, I'm teaching spiritual gifts. There's a difference. And she says, you're right. Funny, it clicked with her. That's why I changed not the gifts of the Spirit. You cannot teach a gift. Because why? You can go to a multitude of gifts. When I say spiritual gifts, we've limited it to something spiritual. So we erase everything else. We have to narrow it down. Why? But that's what's encouraged. Spiritual gifts and spiritual works are the things of the past, which was an old tradition. And they think it's not needed today. It's just, we're modern. The gospel of Jesus Christ is timeless. and is relevant throughout all of history and into the future. It is relevant for today. Man is still a sinner. He has never evolved through something perfect. He's gotten more wickeder. Oh, I guess evolution don't work with us, does it? Huh? Instead of perfecting ourselves, become worse. And the Christian can't see that even in the churches today. He figures, oh, we're just evolving to something so much better. Then why do we go up to the top and always seem to come down? And it seems like going down goes a lot faster than going up. We reverted what? To the old and decayed ways, which are not new. Don't give me the New Age stuff. Don't give me this modern state stuff. Don't give me these things about the music ministries and all that. They did that way back in Babylon, and they did that in the wilderness when Moses went up to the mount and they all sat down, they rose up to play, they had party time. Because there is no new thing under the sun. So don't come and tell me about I'm not modern. Traditionalist? Oh yes, sir, I am a traditionalist. I believe in the traditions of our forefathers of the faith to which we are to walk in today, and that is according to the ministry that Christ has given us, and it has never changed, and the direction has never stopped, and it's still faith, still the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and it'll be till the day that Jesus comes for us. Anybody want to argue it? Come on. Ephesians, Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Why did I say that? You want to know the purpose and will of God and the calling of God for your life? Or you just want to tell me that you're really looking because you're just a pretentious, pompous hypocrite. Just trying to be an average good Christian. You are. You got all the three signs. Pretentious, pompous, and hypocritical. You got every sign of a good Christian. Ecclesiastes, look at chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. The thing that hath been, is that which shall be. And that which is done, is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything wherever it may be said, see, this is new? It had been already of old time, which has been before us. I remember watching through the history books and seeing these things. And seeing documentaries. Environmentalists, the tree huggers. Had them back in old India. Back in the old days, they used to worship the trees. You know what they used to do? They used to tie themselves to the trees because they didn't want the trees being cut in the forest. Well, today we don't do this. We just unshackle them and take them off and charge them and send them back home. Well, the king in India used to just cut them in half. Kill them. That's what he used to do. But it's a cult. Earth worshippers. We worship the earth to such a point that we'll do anything for it, even eradicate ourselves, saying that we are the problem. Mm-hmm. It's not our sin or the devil. They want to leave everything so pristine. This world is to be lived in. The land is to be worked. Minerals are to be extracted. Our life is to be made easier. We toil and we sweat all the days of our lives, and it'll be like that right till the very day we die. If you think this world is a paradise, tell me the richest man in the world will still not have real paradise here. He still gets sick. He can have all his wealth and he'll just fall apart right amongst it and decay just like everything else. The Bible says every man's work will be made manifest. But we're talking about works. We're talking about ministry. Jesus said, the works that I shall he do also. The Great Commission and the ministry to which he gave to his church and to his people. The day will declare it. The fire will show it. Of what sort it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I was sitting down and I was teaching the spiritual gift course. And I said, you know, I have to put something together about the teaching on the ministry. Ben, this is part of it. For the simple reason. Well, you all think, whoever has got called of God and all got a certain work and whatever else, and to what we're peddling today. We better start looking at what our work is. Mm. We better start looking at what we're actually doing, because we better evaluate it. Why? Well, because there's a time coming, there's a judgment day coming, there is a time when the church will be judged, there's a time when our works are going to be made manifest, the day shall declare it, whatever passes through the fire. Now, when the Lord said He's going to burn it, He's going to burn it. So I better have what? Something that's going to last me, because I'm talking about time and eternity. Well, it don't really matter as long as I get in heaven. Then why are you trying to accumulate everything down here if it's so important just to have a chair in heaven? It just shows me how grossly stupid you are, and showing how what? Selfish you are. You want it all here, and you rather have it here, because in heaven it doesn't really matter. Well, what is 50 years or 60 or 80 or 100 years versus eternity? I don't know. You know? Maybe we should be talking like that. And talking and getting the point across. The reason why I say that is we have to wake up. We're sitting down there in imagination land. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 13 to 15 says this: every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. You get it? Did I give you the wrong one? Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, yeah. Verse 13 to 15.
Corinthians.
Yes, Corinthians. Mm-hmm. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire. Remember the Lord said He will baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire? Oh, we're going to get the revival fire. Well, you better watch out about this fire, because this fire burns. Besides, when revival fire is burning, there's a lot of hearts get, people get burnt out. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now think about that. If man's work shall work abide, that he, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So what you're building and what you're doing. In other words, if it passes through the fire, the only thing I can think of is spiritual building, spiritual blessings, spiritual promises, knowing that if I hang on to that which is from heaven, I got a chance that, you know what, it's going to pass through. He shall receive a reward. Verse 15, any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Yeah, you will get in. But what a loss. What a loss. It's an eternal loss to your account. Are you doing the Lord's work, or is your work guised as His work? The reason why I say that is I say that very sincerely. Revelation chapter 3. I say that sincerely for a simple reason. I'm not to preach. I've not been called of God to go and preach about natural abilities and natural works and try to build natural things. We need to what? Build the kingdom of God, spiritually speaking. It's a spiritual building, so we should be building with spiritual things. So if each and every one of us is going to be part and body, the body of Christ, well then every one of us better be born again. And every one of us ought to be able to protect and defend his spot in that building. Because the devil goes looking for the weakest spot. Oh, dear me. He looks for what? The weakest link. He looks for the old, the weak, the sickly. You know, the ones that are kind of really not sure they want to walk with Jesus, because, you know how it is. Isn't Cain's fault as he offered his works? Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. God, what, bearing witness that his was accepted? you throw food and platefuls of food and saying to the Lord, Lord, I fed all those poor. And I will stand saying, Lord, I won these people to Christ and I told them about your gospel. I'll tell you one thing, somebody's going to walk away rewarded and somebody's going to run out shortchanged. And it's not because God doesn't care about the poor. It's because we figure that's the works of God. And we've placed it in front of it. And it's dangerous. Because now that's what's being promoted. Dream center. Whose dream? Mustard seed. Whose seed? Whose mustard seed? Faith or whatever we can do? No more the power and the living reality of our God being able to work and deliver and set us free. Oh, no. Revelation 3, look at verse 14 and 15. This is what he lays to the church. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, beginning the creation of God. I know thy works. Oh, I like that. I know thy works. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. What are we doing? We're trying to mix it all up and get along. Verse 17 and 18 says this, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, I have need of nothing, and knowest not that they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eyes, say, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Why? Because our works are not good before God. And he's laying that to the charge of what? The Laodicean church age. The final church. How do I know that? Well, there's no more after that one. He didn't say any more churches after that. The Laodicean is at the beginning of what? The true works of God. The crude creation. This is the final. This is the end of it all. And this is what he lays charge to. Some have the idea they're not called of God to preach. Nor cast out devils, nor heal the sick, nor speak with tongues. The ones that they think that do this, or they think that they're above the Lord and do not have to obey the word of God, or they think they're so unworthy. You're not unworthy anyway. You're never worthy of anything other than when Jesus says you are worthy. He makes you worthy because of his righteousness. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is the sign for the church age. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 21. And the law it is written, with men of other tongues and with other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. How do we know that? The dispensation started with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and them speaking in tongues. That is the sign for the church age that tell us to get off our high knees and get moving into this ministry. Oh, I'm not called of God. I'm unworthy. You're unworthy in telling me that is trying to give me some sense that you're really holy and that you feel, oh, so unworthy. You're trying to tell me you're more worthy than anything. You're so worthy that God is unholy. Oh, yeah, I remember you people. You used to sit there and eat swine's flesh, eat from the pigs, and tell me, stand by thyself. I am holier than thou. You're the one that tells me these are the works you ought to be doing and not going after the true ones. Well, you know what? I'll tell you it like this. When you refuse the Lord and his baptism, you are refusing him. And it shows whose side you're really on. Maybe it would be better if the devil would rule the church. Why? He doesn't want you to do anything. Not walking anything in the ministry of the Lord, therefore you don't have to do anything. Remember the charge the Lord made to the churches? He says, I know where Satan's seat is. Revelations 2. Why do I say that? For a simple reason. No, let's not talk about that. Okay, let's talk about this. The devil's gotten into the church. And he's messing up the churches. How do we know that? The will of God is not being preached. This ministry is not being encouraged. We are not encouraged to speak in tongues. And if we do it, we always do it chaotically and crazy. We never can follow the word right. What is so hard about shutting your mouth up in church instead of babbling away like a fool because you're trying to impress everybody? Mm-hmm. And you bring reproach on Christ in this ministry when you do that. Mm-hmm. It does say this. I haven't got there yet, but I'll read this to you. Keep your finger there. I'll just read this. No, you don't have to turn there. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. By the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. If we're called to this ministry, we better be doing things right instead of playing little games and hiding things and doing things in secret. Because Christ has given us a ministry, you better pay attention to it. So if you're into little goofy little things, get rid of it fast. Why? Because we've been given this thing, we better honor God because we are commended unto from God to His people. And this is why people are turned away when this stupid things go on and people are playing little mind games with each other. Get rid of it fast. We're not into deceits. We're supposed to manifest the truth. Walking in what? Spiritual gifts properly. Not deceitful. Not hiding little hidden things and doing little dirty little works. And walking in crafting. You know what craftiness means? Witchcraft. Mm-hmm. Playing little mind games. Don't play mind games with me because you want to know something? I don't like my mind being played with. I get very, very uptight about it. We don't use the word of God deceitfully to the point where we're seducing and using what spiritual gifts in one hand and sucking money out of people in the next hand. Lying to them, conniving them, just like a bunch of parasitical bloodsuckers, and then we have this to deal with because we had to deal with that too. Now, I'm not talking just about that. I'm talking about every believer in Christ Jesus. Some of this is what? We brought reproach on that ministry. Let's keep it clean. Let's keep it honest. Let's keep it pure. So they can have a problem with it. It has to be a false accusation. Revelations chapter 2. Verse 12 and 13 says this, and to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath a sharp sword with two edges. Word of God cuts either way. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Oh, really nice. Really nice. This is wonderful for the church age. And thou hast holden fast my name and hast not denied my faith, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. We go to verse 20. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed unto idols. When you bow down to other ways, to whom do you worship? Is to whom you serve. What kind of teaching would she be doing? Oh, that are contrary, what? To the word and to the will of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You not think stuff like that has been perpetrated into the church? Where do you think all this lies and all this garbage comes from? Mm-hmm. And then we do start walking in the gifts, we get all the other stupidity to go along with it. We got our lusts and our desires mixed in there, looking to do stuff. People running to other people. You know the Lord? Show me something about you. Mm-hmm. Only what? For personal gain, personal desires, personal reasons. All one has to do is whatever, is do nothing, just enjoy the ride. Only a fool would think like that. And that's the problem with the churches today. We're listening to fools. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus? Oh, dear child of God, why are you doing what you're doing because so-and-so said that you should do it? Why are you not receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't want to get the false gift of tongues. Oh, so you know that adage, if you ask your father for bread, he'll give you a stone? If you ask for a gift, he'll give you a serpent? Yeah. You know, you ask God for something, he's going to give you something. The devil's going to give you something totally different. So that way, it excuses us. That's what it is. It's a lousy, lying excuse to not do what you're told to do. I tell my children to clean their room, and the first thing they do is they try to wheel and deal me or try to get out of it. Especially my grandchildren. I get a real kick at them. I can't. Why? It's too heavy. They've been dragging the thing, throwing it through the air, bouncing it off the walls, and all of a sudden you tell them to do something with it, and all of a sudden they just can't do it. It's like, well, we do that too. We go to church every Sunday, but we don't want to do anything. I'm nervous. I might prophesy something wrong. Oh, I might speak in tongues and I might not have the interpretation. Get over it. I did. I did it anyway. Because why? Because God's word said, do it. Didn't stand there and say, try to get out of it. No. Romans 1. We're not looking for the right things. We're not looking at what we're supposed to be doing. You wandering around in life wondering what God would have you to do? Give your heart a shake. If you find your compass going in the wrong direction, it's because something magnetized you over to that side. Get out of it. Romans 1 verse 21 to 23, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. We got all kinds of theories, and we got little imaginary things. You want to know something? If you want to go in an imaginary serving the Lord, then you go down to chapters and look for fairy tales. And then go into that section and follow it. And when you look for the little green leprechauns and you find them, guarantee you, you'll get your pot of gold. Or you find a genie that you'll get three wishes. Make your wish good, because it's all you get. Verse 20, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Change the glory of the uncorruptible God, your image made like the corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creepy things. If I just take you a little further, take the will of God, and you turn it around, you turn it inside out, and you distort it. And that's exactly where Satan was doing into the churches. And also what Jezebel was doing, she was teaching and seducing. And what's going on today is we got the same garbage coming in. When the truth comes of Christ Jesus, what strange thing. Truth is stranger than fiction. Because truth is hard to come by. Truth is very hard to hear. Truth is very precious. And not that many have it. In order for one to fulfill this ministry the Lord gave us to do, one must have the proper tools for the task. That's why I preach spiritual gifts. That's why you should be walking spiritual gifts. That's why I encourage you to walk in these things. Why? Because we've been given this ministry. What ministry am I going to talk about? Potatoes and onions? Going to talk about what? How to do natural abilities? Because in order for you to go to be a pastor, for in order for you to be a prophet, for in order for you to be a good leader of anything, or even to carry your life, or to battle with an enemy, you don't ever have to come into a pulpit. You got to have these things. Devil's not particular. He'll come into your house and beat you up. He don't care if you're a preacher. He don't care where you're living. He doesn't care what he'll do to you. He doesn't need a reason why to attack you. More so if you do preach, because why? He has to take you down. If you're preaching the truth, he comes at it more so. Why? Because he wants to what? Destroy it. Tear it apart. It's a funny thing. As soon as the truth comes, you find the enemy fighting at every corner. It doesn't matter where you go. Look at Numbers chapter 4. Numbers chapter 4. You get proper tools for the proper task. Numbers 4, look at verse 12. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry. Spiritualize it and you get a good picture. Wherewith they minister in the sanctuary. And put them in a cloth of blue. True blue. Cover them with a covering of badger skin. It will endure. And put them on a bar. Instead of putting in stinking alcohol and every other garbage, filthy, unclean spirit on the wall and saying, "These be thy gods, O Israel, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Oh, God. Have we come to that point? A bunch of laughing hyenas barking like dogs, squawking like a chicken. Next thing you know, we get firewalkers. The old Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego experience. I shouldn't say that too loud. Some nut brigade will go and get that one, too. That's why I teach and urge you not to rely on natural abilities, upon spiritual gifts, instruments for the ministry we are called to do. Every one of us. There's not one of us is without excuse. "I haven't been called." Oh, okay. You can't cast out a devil? Jesus says, "I've given you power and authority in my name." Why you go lay hands and pray with people for them to be healed if you don't think you should be doing this stuff? Why are you going there standing with people in prayer and believing for their miracles and believing for their healing, or praying and asking God for your needs, looking for direction from the... Why are you doing all these things if you don't think that this ministry is important to you? Why do you do these things? Why don't you just shut up and stay in a corner and don't do nothing? Why do you do these things? For the simple reason, you know it in your heart, because you being a Christian, you know that in your spirit, you got to do these things. So why not just stand up there and do them right? Because you're called to the ministry. It's the will and desire of God for every one of His children. The Lord would that all His people were prophets. I know that some like to go along and say, "Well, you know, I'm just the elite few, and we really, you know, God's really moving amongst me. He gives me a little word, a rhema, a word of knowledge. Oh, He's so wonderful. Oh, let's all bow before Him. Oh, yes, you got the biggest ministry. You got the best. You're the best." Huh? Go on and on and on. Acts chapter 1. People often wonder, how can you say you have the truth and you're preaching the truth? And I said, well, if you can peddle what you say and you can stand there and tell me it's the truth, then my goodness, I can stand there and tell you the same thing. I have just as much right, because I know it to be true. They don't base my theologies on my own ideas or whatever else, and I base them on the Word of God. Acts 1 verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, unto the uttermost part of the earth." Fellow asked me, he says, "Does everyone get speak in tongues you teach?" I says, "Yeah." "Everyone?" I says, "Yeah, it's all the time I've taught." I says, "Everybody brought there, they've all spoken tongues, interpreted, prophesied." Oh. I said, "Well, why wouldn't they? It's for every one of us. It's in our inheritance. When you come to Christ, what are you supposed to be doing? If I'm supposed to be doing what I was doing before, why get saved? I can live like hell and won't have a conscience. Now I can't live like hell because I got a conscience. A conscience bothers me. When I go do something wrong, it eats me up. It's supposed to. It's supposed to work conviction in me. You're not supposed to go dead in your conviction. You go sear it with a hot iron. Hopefully you don't get it again. Huh? We try to deaden our senses, what, our spiritual senses? I've seen people reject spiritual gifts and the truth concerning them. Because they don't see is that they reject this ministry. Because they figure, I'm not been called. Every one of us is called to what? Fight. and stand and walk and defend and protect. Why do you pray for believers? Why do you pray for the church? Why do you pray for these? Why do you ask the Lord for these things if you don't think you should be doing anything? Oh, it's easier for you just to sit in a corner and pray and let everybody else do it. So you really don't think it's important. This ministry is very special and very dear to the Lord. It's connected what? To His resurrection and His ascension up into heaven. It's connected to it. It belongs with it. It's a part of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even a dishwasher can do it. A server of tables. Stephen was one of them. And he wasn't an apostle. And he served the Lord. And look what he did. Drove them right off the deep end. They went at him. Maybe Jezebel got her teaching into the churches and caused confusion amongst the believers concerning spiritual gifts and ministries. We can't figure out from the left hand or the right hand. Oh, terrible. Ephesians 4. Almost at the end. Ephesians 4. Watch this. I think you probably read this so many times, but maybe you missed this piece. Maybe you missed this. Ephesians 4, look at verse 8 to 12. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? Also, he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some prophets, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. How are you going to do the work for Christ if you don't have gifts and abilities, spiritual, supernatural? There are no excuses for not walking in this ministry. You can't peddle me any. You can't tell me one. You can't give me an excuse because the Word of God will destroy it every time. I haven't seen it yet. That doesn't happen. You can't peddle it to me. Everything tells me I'm got to be doing it. I should be doing it. I'm encouraged to do it. I'm commanded to do it. This is the will of God for me in my life. I don't have to go looking anywhere. I don't have to run across halfway across the world going to go be a missionary. You start walking these things, you'll battle right in your own backyard, in your own house. The calling goes out to you and to your children. You're without excuse. Every believer and every generation has been always told the same thing. It's never changed. Those that give heed to the calling from the Lord, those that have rejected were left out and did not enter in because what? Unbelief. Faint not. And I don't mean get slain in the spirit. Is your heart hardened toward this ministry? It's not Mario Prezan's ministry. It is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ unto His church and for every believer to walk in. This ministry. It's not my theology. It's not my desire. Is your heart hardened toward this ministry? Is your spirit the same as Caleb and Joshua? Or is it like those who brought an evil report on the promised land? And tell me 3 million reasons why you cannot. Well, they're not for everybody. Only certain ones can get it. You can get the devil. And then go on, and what is it? Where does it all come from? It can't come from the Lord because the Lord doesn't go against His own word. Miss ideas. Bring an evil part on the promised land. The promised land, spiritually speaking, spiritual places, spiritual blessings, spiritual gifts. Do we get the spiritual picture? We should. Are you blind, lost, and scared like others, or do you see the land that flows with milk and honey? I'm serious. Think about it. It's lost what? Satan, the god of this world, has blinded them. Can't see it. Can you be a blind believer? Well, the Lord could use the church of being blind, poor, miserable, wretched, naked, destitute. Think the wino on the streets probably going to go more going for him than you do, the church. At least he knows he doesn't have anything. You're going wrong in imagination. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, look at verse 7 to 19. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, a day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation that said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Our God wants you to know his ways and to walk in them. Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath they should not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard it, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. Many are called, so few are chosen. But those who were chosen, my God, you can go somewhere for them. See, well, how could we be chosen if God... We heard and we gave heed to the calling. And our hearts were not closed. See, how did that happen? There's none that seeketh God. It was not in me to go looking for him or anything else, nor me go looking for spiritual gifts. He brought me to it. He showed it to me. And he said, this is what I want you to walk in. And I saw it. And people that come along, all of a sudden you're preaching to 10, 15, and 20, or 100, or 1,000. One, two, hear it, and the rest all. Ah. So how do we know this? Well, read through the epistles. What was the biggest battle? Look at it. Church is what? Turning away from the Lord into this or into that. One young man was having a stepmother. Into spiritual wickedness, back into the law, works. Actually, you could take the epistles, you could probably find every denomination in there. Got their own little theory, their own little thing. I'm a Paul, I am this, I am that. Paul says, You're my children? No, I've begotten you in Christ Jesus, but you belong to Christ. I don't save you. But then you get to understand. And there's some of you out there that have heeded the call and think of yourselves better than them. You think you're so spiritual, you walk in an air of arrogance. Don't get like that. Because you want to know something? When you're up in that little bumble, it'll pop. And you will come down faster than you ever heard. Don't get so high-minded. Awe of yourself, and you forget where you come from. And who you are. Remember that. And I'm sincerely saying that. Don't get too high-minded on yourself. Think, well, we are the chosen ones and we are king. Well, you know what? God can raise stones. God can make a donkey speak. So don't think too much of yourself. And the reason why I say that is a simple reason. If you don't do it, God will get somebody else. That your hearts are open, your eyes see. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry and we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. I have to answer for myself and I have to answer to the people to whom I lead and I show. But I tell you one thing, you better handle that word of God, you better handle it right. And don't play games with it. but manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man conscience in the sight of God. We give an answer. There's those who walk in this ministry are dishonest. I see a lot of things going on, thinking they're above the law. So they do not have to adhere to the godliness and holiness, and they can do whatever they want. And you see this many, many times. Don't ever get into that. Trying to have power over others, seeing that they're more spiritual than you. Oh, yes. Using the word of God for their own advantage and their own gain. Being crafty, manipulating others for their gain and their desires. And I see this time and time again. This ministry was never intended for fortune-telling and all the other garbage that comes along with it. Keep it clean. Keep it honest. Don't get yourself to such a point you so think you're so spiritual that you'll come and tell anybody anything because you think whatever every little voice you hear is from God. You got a coconut on your head and sometimes it don't tell you all the things right. Sometimes you're listening to yourself and you're not listening to the Lord. When you're supposed to be listening to the Lord, you're calling him a fool and calling him a liar and you don't want to hear him. Learn how to listen. Lying and deceiving others secretly, passing mischief upon their behind their backs is not becoming those who walk in this ministry. Don't do it. Don't get into it. Get out of it. You are to be above that type of a person. And beholden to the true word of the gospel of Christ in truth and sincerity, being what you preach, not double-tongued or double-minded. We don't bring reproach on the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel and the ministry to which we are given. We got to keep it good. We got to keep it clean. We got to keep it pure. Everybody understand that? Make it clear. Everybody get the point? Mm-hmm. Do I have to spell it out? I don't think I have to. I think we all understand. Everybody that comes into this ministry, because this is a spiritual gift ministry to which Christ Jesus said, this is what his church is to walk in. And we represent the Lord. We better be doing it the best way we can do it in Christ Jesus. Not in dishonesty, not deceitful, not crafty, not being whatever. Not little hidden little things and little agendas and all this stuff going on. People want to do this and they want to do that. Because why? It turns people away from the ministry. And this ministry is important. For them to do what they're going to do for Christ Jesus, they need spiritual gifts. And they need it desperately bad today. Let us do nothing. Let us do everything to encourage, to edify and build up and get them going forward, and nothing to hinder or destroy or take apart. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your hand, your word, your truth and your light. Blessed to each and every heart that may go forward in it, and that we may honor you, Lord, in all things, and honor you that we must, because you have called us, you have saved us, and you have redeemed us. And put this calling in our lives, Lord, that we may be worthy of the calling that you have given us, knowing, Lord, that you know what you're doing. And we just look to fulfill and obey you in all the purposes that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You shut it, John? Thanks. Amen.